A number of people have said to me that although lockdown has been really hard, one of the things that has been of a benefit during lockdown is that they have had more time to listen to God. So now is a good time to be thinking about listening to God. And of course, listening to God is what we want to do as Christians all the time. We believe that God is omniscient, omnipotent, and omnipresent, that he's all-knowing, that he's all-powerful, and that he can be everywhere present, and he can see the bigger picture. So listening to God is a really good idea for us as a Christian. And also, we believe that God is the very definition of truth and love. So listening to God is surely one of our top priorities. If we want to be useful in God's plans, we need to listen to what he's telling us to do. So our first task is to listen to God, but we can also learn to be better listeners. I can learn to be a better listener too, and I want to be a better listener to God. And so this is a good opportunity for me too. Spend some time thinking about listening. So we're going to be spending the next six sermons that I'm doing thinking about listening to God and listening to God through others. And then in the weeks in between, you can put that into practice as you listen to others speaking about God too. Because it's quite difficult to listen to God. It's quite difficult sometimes to work out what it really is that God is really saying. So the series that we're going to do this week, listening to God and how do we discern his voice, then on the 5th of July, practices of listening. How do we actually do things that enable us to listen to God better? How do we practice listening? Then listening to God through prophecies and dreams and images. I'm going to give that a whole sermon on its own. And then listening to God through listening to one another, particularly listening to other Christians, then listening to others, working out how to communicate with those who don't yet know Jesus and speak in their language. How do we communicate in a language that can be understood? And today, Sian is giving us a demonstration of that as she does the Lord's Prayer in sign language. Then listening to God through the cry of the poor and the oppressed. Over these last couple of weeks, we've remembered how important it is that we listen to God through the cry of those who are oppressed by racism. It's so important that we remember their plight, that their struggle, and that we hear their cry. And racism is evil and wrong. And we've been challenged once again to check our own hearts, to ask why we didn't speak up sooner, and to ask forgiveness for that, and to commit ourselves once again to being the voice of those who are oppressed. And also in that session, we'll look at the voice of the poor and listening to God through the voice of the poor. Such a big topic in Scripture, listening to the voice of God through the poor and the oppressed. But today, discerning God's voice. You probably know the game Simon Says. So we're going to have a little game of Simon Says. What happens is I give an instruction and then you do what I say and I'll do it as well. But you mustn't do it unless I say Simon Says do it. So if I said put up your hand, even though I put up my hand, that you shouldn't do that because you have to, only if Simon Says put up your hand. Right, off we go. Ready? Okay. Simon Says scratch your ear. Simon Says put your hands on your shoulders. Simon Says reach up to the sky and down to the ground. Did I catch you out? Okay, one more go. Simon Says pat your head. Simon Says clap your hands. Simon Says close your eyes and open them again. Did I catch you out? Perhaps I didn't. Or did I now? Simon Says open your eyes. just in case you've still got your eyes closed, you are now the winner. So how do we know that God is saying something? Well, it's a little bit like that game of Simon Says, isn't it? God authenticates what he says. We have to know that it's God speaking. That's about discernment. And we live in an age of voice recognition. It used to be just something that we saw on films. But now we have voice recognition in our homes, on our telephones. Perhaps you speak to Siri or Alexa or Google to instruct your devices. But in the sheep, in the Bible, they didn't have these devices or voice recognition. But the Bible tells us that they were able to know that it was the shepherd who was speaking. So let's have a look in our text. This is possibly what the writer might have had in mind when he was describing the sheepfold. It might have been attached to a house or out in a field. It might have a doorkeeper or gatekeeper, and the shepherd would then come and collect their flock. But this image of a sheepfold probably works best to have in mind for our passage today. The sheep are in a walled enclosure. The sheepfold is open to the sky, but with protection from the worst of the elements and protection from the beasts. So the first way that the sheep know whether this is the good shepherd is whether the person coming into the fold uses the door. Jesus says that he is the door or the gate for the sheep. So the sheep would automatically be suspicious if someone came into the sheepfold and didn't use the gate, didn't use the door. And in the Christian life, everything is authenticated by Jesus. Scripture is centred on him, and we interpret scripture on the understanding that it is the Jesus who is described by the scriptures. That is the authentic Jesus that we are coming to, that the rest of the scriptures are understood through him. So if we think that we are hearing God, to discern that it really is the voice of God, the person speaking to us should present themselves to us as Jesus would. So maybe if we've heard a writer or a preacher say something, we need to then weigh it up. Try and understand what it means for us. Distill it away from the writer or preacher to some degree. If we're looking for something that God is specifically saying to us or saying to us corporately as a church or a group of Christians, we're ultimately saying, would Jesus have said this? Would the Jesus of the Bible have said this? Because we read in scripture that Jesus has the unique authority to speak the words of God. In Colossians 1 verse 15, Jesus is the image of the invisible God. The Son, in Hebrews 1 verse 3, is the exact representation of his being. And we should not attribute to God things that he would not have said. Jesus says, I am the gate, in verse 7 and verse 9. In verse 7 here, he says, I tell you, I am the gate for the sheep. All who have come before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep have not listened to them. I am the gate. Whoever enters through me will be saved. Elsewhere in John 14 and verse 6, Jesus says, I am the way, the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father except by me. Jesus has that unique authority. Jesus is the way to the Father. So we know the voice of God through the authority of Jesus. That's point one. But what if someone has dressed up to make themselves look like Jesus? What if someone has dressed up to make themselves look like the shepherd in the case of the sheep we get next in our passage? Well, actually, these sheep are a bit more clever than we would normally give them credit. In verse 3, we read that the sheep listen to the voice of the shepherd. They can tell whether it's the voice of the shepherd speaking because they know the voice of the shepherd. Leon Morris, in his excellent commentary on the Gospel of John, tells us that they did some experiments in the Middle East to see if the sheep knew the voice of the shepherd. He writes, "Travellers in modern Palestine have sometimes been able to document this. It appears that strangers, even when disguised in the shepherd's clothing and attempting to imitate his call, succeed only in making the sheep run away." The sheep know the voice of the shepherd. We need to spend time getting to know the voice of God. Then we're much more likely to be able to hear him during a storm, during a difficult time, or much more able to hear him when we're confused or when everyone else seems to be shouting something else or contradicting what he's saying. We get to know God's voice through scripture, through reading scripture, through prayer, and through spending time with other Christians, living out the Christian life. More on that next time. And then Morris also writes that the shepherd in the Middle East would often have their own way of communicating with the sheep, their own call to that particular sheep. In verse 3, we read, "The gatekeeper opens the gate for him, and the sheep listens to his voice. He calls his own sheep by name." God knows us as individuals. We have a relationship with God through Jesus. We're not just a statistic to God, or one in a group or clump of people. And that's awesome. There's an amazing peace that comes through knowing God personally. So, authority, we authenticate the voice of God by comparison to Jesus, the Jesus of the scriptures. And familiarity, we authenticate the voice of God by comparing it with the God that we know, the God who has led us in the past, the God who has led his people in the past, and the God who calls us by name. Then, consistency. The shepherd is known by the sheep because of the way he behaves. He leads them out. He goes ahead of them, and they follow him. See, sheep in the Middle East are not driven by the shepherd. They're led by the shepherd. The shepherd goes in front of them, and they follow the shepherd. He leads them to good pasture. He risks his life fighting off the wolf, we've read in this passage. If they get lost, he will pursue them to rescue them. In another parable, Jesus tells us that he's like the man who had 100 sheep and 99 were safely tucked away in the fold, and he goes after the one that's missing. In scripture, we read that the shepherd may gently discipline the sheep. In Psalm 23, we read that your rod and your staff, they comfort me. But Jesus hasn't come to make our lives miserable. He's come to give us life to the full. We read that in this very passage in John 10, verse 10. And if you want life to the full, come to Jesus. So we can trust Jesus because of the way that he has led us in the past. There'll be consistency in the voice of God. Finally, we learn that discernment is unlocked by the posture of the listener. I'm going to argue that the sheep have a disposition towards the voice of the good shepherd. And it's not a stretch to say that the sheep have good posture for listening to this particular voice, which helps them to hear and to discern that it is the good shepherd who is speaking. The sheep trust the good shepherd because the good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. The sheep trust the good shepherd, and this trust helps them to hear and connect with his voice. Jesus is the one who lays down his life for the sheep. We read that in John 10, verse 11. He is the one who went to the cross for all his people. He laid down his life. So are you going to listen out for the good shepherd? His authority, familiarity, consistency, and in your posture. Perhaps you're thinking, well, God won't have anything good to say to me. I'm a bad sheep. I'm not a good sheep. I don't deserve for God to speak to me. Well, you'd be right. You wouldn't deserve that. But then none of us deserve that. I don't deserve that either. All of us have sinned. But God in his mercy has made a way for us to be forgiven. Through Jesus, we can be saved. Jesus died as the propitiation for our sin. When he died, he took upon himself the punishment that we deserved so that we could be forgiven. When he laid down his life, he laid down his life for us so that through his death, we could have eternal life through him. So hear the voice of God in that context. In the context of trusting him and recognizing our sinfulness, but thanking him for his mercy and trusting him who laid down his life. And if the only voice you hear is the voice of one accusing you, particularly if you've confessed your sin before, then that is not the voice of God. If you've confessed your sin to God, you are forgiven. But God then leads us on. And he calls us to follow Jesus, to live as close as we can to the life of Jesus, to follow his commands and to live his way, to put things right, to pick up our cross, to lay down our lives, preferring others. And he won't give us a burden that we can't carry. He will help us. Jesus says that his yoke is easy and his burden is light. There will be fun times and there will be difficult times. But ultimately, we can trust him because he is bringing us eternally into his presence, into his glory, forever. He laid down his life for each one of us to make that possible. He knows us by name. And he loves us. So will you trust God and follow him? Will you listen to him today? Will you put your trust in Jesus? Ask God to forgive your sin. Trust in Jesus that he died for you, that he rose again, and follow him. If you want to do that today for the first time, then please send me a message, send me an email, send me a text, ring me. My number is on the website and my email address is there. I'd love to talk with you more, to journey with you. God blesses us as a Christian community. None of us are intended to be able to do this on our own. We need the comfort, the advice, the encouragement of one another. And if you already know Jesus, will you trust him? Will you listen? Will you discern the voice of God, what he is saying, and follow him? I'm going to finish by reading Psalm 23. And then we're going to listen to Psalm 23 as a song. And then set some time aside, perhaps later, set some time aside. Maybe read this passage, John 10 again, and then pray. Worshipping and thanking God for all that he's done. And then listen to what it is that he wants to say to you. Listen to the Good Shepherd who laid down his life for us. This is Psalm 23. The Lord is my shepherd. I lack nothing. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside quiet waters. He refreshes my soul. He guides me along the right paths for his name's sake. Even though I walk through the darkest valley, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup overflows. Surely your goodness and love will follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever.